independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. My name is Danny Yassin. I'm an anti-war and anti-empire activist. Jerry Bill is at the controls. Today is November 21st, 2018, third Wednesday of the month. Every third Wednesday from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I interview authors, scholars, bloggers, columnists, and activists who help us look at our world through the prism of American imperialism. On the show, we talk about U.S. foreign and domestic policy and the actions of the military-industrial surveillance complex. These actions have severe consequences not only for the people here in America, but also for the people in other countries. Today, we have Cindy Sheehan on telephone with us. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Dan. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for being my guest on the show. Cindy Sheehan is America's leading anti-war and anti-empire activist. She has traveled extensively to join anti-war rallies and meet activists and leaders in the U.S. and in other countries. Her website is cindysheehanssoapbox.blogspot.com. Cindy, let's start with Women's March on the Pentagon, which was held October 20th and 21st. You had worked diligently on its planning for several months. Besides the main event in Washington, D.C., there were several sister marches and actions in many other cities, including one here in Fresno. How did it go? Tell us about it.
Well, I think it was very successful, and we had 16 sister marches throughout the United States and Canada, and we had 21 marches in solidarity with us in Japan, just in Japan alone. But of course, we know that the activists in Japan are dedicated anti-military base, anti-imperialist, anti-U.S. and Japanese imperialist activists. So, we had about 1,500 people at the march, which seems to be very small, but, you know, we are rebuilding the anti-war movement, Dan, the anti-imperialist movement. Since the Democrats came back to power the end of 06, beginning of 07, we both know that nationally the anti-war movement pretty much went on hold. And then when Obama became president, in 2008, and it was inaugurated in 2009, the anti-war movement just about disappeared in the United States. And so even though Obama took three Bush wars and expanded them to seven or eight wars in during his regime, so we think 1,500 people at the march and the rally was very good, but we also live streamed over 100,000 people around the world. So we think that that was excellent. And so we think it was a really good start to begin a new anti-war movement. But it's not anti-war. It's against imperialism. Like you say, you're an anti-war, anti-imperialist movement. But that means that you have to stay dedicated and stay in the trenches, even if a Democrat is president.
Well, where do you go from here? Any future plans?
Well, Women's March on the Pentagon is an organization. We're transitioning to just March on the Pentagon. And what we're doing now, our big activity this weekend is to have people fast for all or part of the Thanksgiving Day weekend with us in solidarity with the people of Yemen who are literally starving to death. 1 million babies are beyond remission. 1 million children will die very shortly. Every 10 minutes a child dies in Yemen because due to like 100% preventable causes, which are starvation, famine, war, and other preventable things that are being caused by the U.S. Saudi Arabia, coalition to actually destroy the country of Yemen. And this is like the worst national genocide that I think we have seen. We've seen many wars especially since 9/11. We've seen the U.S. perpetrate many crimes against humanity, but this one in Yemen is just beyond belief, where 18 million people are on the brink of starvation by the end of this year. And so Women's March on the Pentagon is doing this fast in solidarity with the people who are starving there, and we're calling on people to share all or part of the weekend with us. But not just that, but to spread awareness, because there's very little out there. Of course, the corporate media doesn't cover what's really happening in Yemen. And so to share with your family and your contacts and your community about this genocide in Yemen and the need for us to urgently work together to stop it. And then, of course, this March on the Pentagon that we just had is, you know, we're going to be organizing major marches and rallies and activities around the country, and some of them might be even like online teach-ins or rallies or whatever that people can share, join in and share, so they don't have to travel too much. But we really need a strong female-led anti-imperialist movement in this country, where, you know, we started this because the Women's March wouldn't address war as one of its demands. It's at the end of war. They said that they wouldn't address that while women weren't free. And what they meant was while Democrat women weren't free from Trump, they wouldn't address war as an issue. So we're an internationalist movement. We want to be in solidarity with the women around the world who are being occupied and oppressed, and then to go forward in this international solidarity.
Well, you already talked about you meant Democrats, because I was going to ask you that next question, because when you started planning, announce that you are going to do this march, you were cautioned that it is too close to the election and you're going to hurt the chances of Democrats winning the election. How did you address those concerns?
Right. Well, they said, you know, you might harm the chance of the Democrats. And my answer to that is, if you're anti-war and you're worried about an anti-war demonstration harming your party's chances, then you're probably in the wrong party. And so we, of course, didn't have any major Democrat front organizations, for example, Move On, endorse or work with us. And, you know, like, no leading Democrat politicians joined us, or even candidates. So that was before the election. If there were any anti-war candidates, they certainly could have come out and marched with us, and they didn't. So, it's our position, has long been my position, that when it comes to war and peace and many other issues like bailing out Wall Street, the Democrats and the Republicans are no different. There's absolutely no difference.
Well, of course, the wars and militarism and the imperialism is a bipartisan project. And as you said, that they are on the same page when it comes to those issues and globalization and exploitation of the working people all over the world. Let's move into your hunger strike. You embarked on this hunger strike and took the baton from your friend Pam Bennett, who had completed 26 days of hunger strike. Tell us about that. You have already mentioned the crisis in Yemen, and tell us more about that. What you're doing, and where are you at this point?
Right, the hunger strike is definitely in solidarity with the starving people in Yemen, but to also to raise awareness about it. And personally, I had to take a break as of Saturday because the smoke here in Northern California, I couldn't handle the smoke and handle the hunger strike at the same time. So what the beautiful thing about this hunger strike is, it's a relay hunger strike. So when I had to take a few days off, one of my friends took the baton from me. We're calling it passing the baton. And so she is going to be on this hunger strike until tomorrow when I rejoin. Thank goodness it's raining up here and our air is being cleaned up. It was like really terrible for almost 2 weeks up here. And so it's a relay hunger strike, and we're hoping that this is raising awareness and raising money for aid to get into Yemen. But we need to call for an end to the Saudi blockade and the Saudi bombing of the ports of entry and, you know, things like that, so aid can get through. It's just a horrendous situation in Yemen. And I know there's many horrendous situations around the world, but, you know, this one seems like a planned genocide against the people of Yemen.
Well, and that plus our complicity, U.S. complicity, and since, as a taxpayer, I have the right to shout as loud as I can against it because my tax dollars are being used. And by, again, in your blog, as you just did a few days ago, hashtag no Thanksgiving, you talked about that this was started in 2015 under our president Obama's approval and giving money and aid or actually selling arms to Saudi Arabia and refilling their planes. They go on a airstrike, they go bomb infrastructure in Yemen, and then they don't have to come back because they are refueled mid-air by U.S. and then they go back and do it again.
Well, also, not just selling the weapons, over $100 billion a year Saudi Arabia buys from the United States, but also there was material aid like refueling planes, giving Saudis coordinates of where to bomb. Boots on the ground. There was actually have been U.S. troops. They say they're working to fight Al-Qaeda. They could just say that wherever, right, that Al-Qaeda's there and they need to go fight Al-Qaeda. And so, yeah, material aid and selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. Now, recently, the U.S. said they were going to stop refueling Saudi planes in the air, but they didn't tell us was that Saudi Arabia has, they've gained the ability to do that themselves.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So it's not really doing anything. They can do it themselves, so they don't need the United States. So it's just like throwing a bone to people who are against the bombing, saying that there is some progress, but really there's no progress.
You're listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on KFCF 88.1 FM, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. We are speaking with Peace Mom, Cindy Sheehan. Cindy, you said that, did you mention that you already have, okay, no, somebody took over while you took a break for a few days. So when do you plan on ending this hunger strike, and you are still looking, or somebody is going to take the baton from you?
Well, hopefully I'm going to rejoin tomorrow. And since I did get pretty ill between the fires and the hunger strike, I'm just taking one day at a time.
Okay.
And there's so many people who are willing to take the baton and go with it. So we don't have to. The thing is, Dan, you know how I am. I take a lot of responsibility for what the U.S. government does. Even though I oppose it, I live here. I think that as people who live here, we have to be in 100% solidarity with the suffering people of the world. So it's really hard to live the American way and do the things that are normal to Americans, like gorge ourselves on Thanksgiving and then the next day go shopping and look for sales and beat each other up to get to the merchandise that we want. So it's really hard for me I haven't participated in Thanksgiving since my son was killed, but this will be the first year that I've totally abstained from eating. And just the whole thing about Thanksgiving, not just the U.S. foreign policy, but this, you know, this holiday is founded on genocide and then forced black slavery. So it's really like, what are we celebrating when we celebrate Thanksgiving? The ability to overeat, gluttony, consumerism, and things like that. So we're kind of highlighting those issues too, as we're highlighting U.S. foreign policy as a reason to abstain from food and go on this hunger strike. And people are doing it for one day, the whole weekend. They're completely abstaining from food, only drinking water. Some people are just are doing juice and things like that. So in the United States, just to somehow, like you said, you don't want your taxes to go to the genocide of the people of Yemen. Well, of course, and I'm also a war tax resister. So there's so many ways that we can oppose the government. And we didn't cause the genocide in Yemen. We didn't cause the blockade or the famine. But if we, the people who care about it and know about it, don't stand up and take drastic measures to end it, it's not going to end.
Well, that's definitely true. Do you have any more advice for activists in Fresno, in other cities in U.S.? Would you like to get them more involved?
Well, you know, the Women's March on the Pentagon, we have a website, marchonthepentagon.com, and we also have 16 cities where we had in the U.S. and Canada, where we had these solidarity marches, and where we have, you know, budding chapters. And we would like to have these be like, you know, not real super organized where they have to have weekly meetings or whatever, but to be on call when we have to go out and we have to take the streets against whatever foreign policy catastrophe the U.S. is planning, or what, you know, the current CEO of Empire, the Commander-in-Chief Trump is planning, is that we can put out these alerts and say, you know, go to where you went when you protested with us on the 21st, go there and protest at your federal buildings and things like that. So we are setting that up. We had dozens and dozens of organizations and groups and people support the Women's March on the Pentagon on the 20th and 21st. But, you know, they're not all necessarily anti-imperialist. So we want a strong anti-imperialist coalition to join us, which means you oppose all imperialist wars, not just one started by Republicans, but all imperialist wars you oppose. And you don't say, like, we don't say things like, oh, Assad's a bad guy, but, you know, or Putin's a bad guy, but. No, we say no U.S. intervention. Imperialist intervention around the world. So we do want to organize a strong coalition. So we'll be weeding out some people from our endorsers list to join, to be on our coalition list. But then, you know, we're planning things like, for example, in January, the Women's March, you know, we call the Liberal Bougie Women's March. They're also planning their second anniversary marches around the country. So we're going to call on our chapters to our ad hoc chapters to be in groups in these women's marches, to march as a contingent to say war is a woman's issue. It's not, you know, war isn't just, they told me, well, Cindy, we appreciate that's your issue. No, war is not just my issue. It's the issue of billions of women around the world. So we're going to call on our chapters to march in those as contingents, just a Women's March on the Pentagon contingent saying war is a women's issue, you know. And so that I think that's the next thing that we'll be organizing for, and that we'll be calling on our ad hoc chapters to join us in. But also just, you know, we don't think that there's a strong anti-imperialist effort in this country at all, but especially one that's women's led. We don't think, I'm sorry, woman led. We don't think that's been a thing for a long time, if it's ever been a thing.
I guess you have already addressed the issue of U.S. complicity in this genocide in Yemen, which is, of course, perpetrated by Saudi and United Arab Emirates forces, but of course aided and abetted by U.S. and even U.K. I mean, we are definitely complicit, no doubt about it. If you want to address the issue of the silence from the mainstream media on this issue and politicians, our Congress, and everybody is silent like it doesn't exist. That's why it has become, that's why you are out hunger striking, and that's why we need to do something more than what we are doing to bring attention, because we're not going to have any help from our politicians and our media.
Well, there is one senator in Connecticut. I don't have my computer with me, and I don't remember his name. That he's been against the U.S. Complicity in Yemen since it started. Even he's a Democrat senator. He's a junior senator from Connecticut. Even when Obama was president and was pushing, was helping Saudi Arabia do this. And so, I mean, there's people like that we need to be working with. He recently got Sanders on board with him and Rand Paul. Those are the two people I remember that are on board with him for ending the U.S. You just can't end the U.S.'s complicity because Saudi Arabia is a brutal regime, and they're being absolutely brutal in what's happening in Yemen. And you'll notice, Dan, that the corporate media, the mainstream media, didn't even say anything about Yemen except when, or anything against Saudi Arabia, except when the journalist Khashoggi was, brutally murdered. And all of a sudden, Germany now is refusing to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia, which is a good thing, but why did they keep on selling weapons to Saudi Arabia when they were, killing tens of thousands of Yemeni? And so, and then that kind of brought attention to what's happening in Yemen, what Saudi Arabia is doing in Yemen. But see, they don't care that they kill journalists, that they regularly kill women, that they're killing women and children in Yemen. But when one journalist gets murdered, and he was an elitist, let's not say that he was somebody campaigning against Saudi Arabia. He just didn't like the current, prince. Mm-hmm. And so he said a lot of nasty things about the current prince, and that's why he was murdered. So, we have this opportunity now with a few senators who think that the U.S. needs to stop, but also they need to start speaking against Saudi Arabia and against the U.S. arms deals, which Trump says is good for the economy, so they're not going to hold Saudi Arabia accountable.
Well, the cost of war project at Brown University's Watson Institute released a new estimate that the war on terror since 9/11 has cost over $5.9 trillion and over 500,000 deaths. Most of these studies underestimate the number of deaths. U.S. has devastated Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan, killing millions and destroying the infrastructure in those countries. Give us your take on this so-called war on terror.
Well, even if it cost a dollar, it wouldn't be worth it. And because, like you said, millions of people have been murdered, displaced, their countries lie in ruins because of the U.S.'s involvement in the war on terror, the U.S.'s war of terror against the world. And so here, I'm at my daughter's house. We're going to have a meal together today. She's got over $100,000 in student loans, and that includes interest. our infrastructure is crumbling. Our state is burning down. California is burning down. People are homeless, hungry. We don't have access to free and good education or health care, but we're spending trillions of dollars to murder people. I mean, it just really has to stop. And that's why the Women's March on the Pentagon is in solidarity with all oppressed people around the world. And that includes people here in the United States, even if they know they're oppressed or not.
Well, you are busy. You do many, many things. And I would like you to take a couple of minutes to address the people. I mean, there are many listeners to this radio station that are not involved with Peace Fresno, another peace group, but how would you suggest to them they can get involved and keep up with all the stuff that you do? You do a radio show have a radio show on a regular basis, and you blog. So how can they access all of that, and how would you encourage them to get involved?
Well, I would encourage people listening to this show in Fresno to actually, get involved with Peace Fresno. It's been an organization that I've been involved with for, I don't even know, since 05. So that's a long time. But, if you want to get involved, if you want to work with Women's March on the Pentagon, it's marchonthepentagon.com. We don't just, have women. We have we're led by women, but we have men and our allies to support us, and who are also anti-imperialists. And then Cindy Sheehan Soapbox is cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com. I carry this show on the soapbox. And so there's many ways. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And just, I think that that social media is important for getting the word out, but hasn't been effective for getting people out on the street. So get out to your protests, get out to your local meetings, especially ones that are addressing these issues of war and peace, because as you know, I think it's the most important issue. And if we don't address the fact that the U.S. is spending most of our money, 60% of the money that people send with their taxes goes to these wars, paying off old wars, maintaining empire around the world. If you don't get involved in that, and if we don't end that, then I really don't think there's any hope to solve any of the other important issues that I talked about.
Well, as you had in one of your blogs, that was, I think, a few months ago, when you addressed the issue of people are coming to you and saying that why are you doing this march so close to the election? You blogged, get out the vote. So you suggested that doing the protest that you're doing, that is your way of getting voting with your feet. So tell us about the thing, and we got 30 seconds to wrap it up.
I think the best thing that we do, Dan, is use our time, our resources, and energy in opposing elected officials, not voting for them. And, we'll never turn into a get-out-the-vote organization for the Democrat Party, because they're major imperialists, just like the Republicans, neoliberals, neocons, and imperialists. And we have to oppose that, not support that.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for being my guest on the show. Until next time.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's always nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You were listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on KFCF 88.1 FM, independently owned and locally operated since 1975 in Fresno. We were speaking with Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan. Thank you for listening. My name is Dan Yastin, host of the show. I'll be back third Wednesday of the next month. Goodbye.